following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Did you guys have a good Christmas?
Yes.
Did you give well?
Yes.
Did you receive well?
Yes.
It doesn't really matter the amount, does it? It's the heart that's behind it. Is anybody kind of just done with Christmas? I'm a little bit bummed out when you go into the stores now and they're not playing the music anymore. I know they start in October, but I can't get enough of the good, really good Christmas music. And so I keep listening to it. And I'm going to stretch our Christmas just a little bit musically this morning with a couple of songs that I've written over the last, well, these are not really recent, but I'm going to share one before we get into the Word and then one after the message this morning. But the first one, it was actually co-written. A friend of mine by the name of Lou and I got together and wrote this one. His full name is Ludwig von Beethoven. And I just ripped off his tune, and you know it. It's one of those tunes that's been put to so many times, been have accompanied wonderful lyrics. And this is my version with "Ode to Joy," and I call it "Jesus, Humble Babe." And my goodness, I don't know. I think I wrote this when we were in Desert Hot Springs, right, babe? So that's a while back. But ancient tune, and so the words are going to be up there. You know the tune, so sing along if you like.
Jesus, humble babe in manger, how our hearts do welcome you. God in flesh, yet as a stranger, come to ransom and renew. Deity is now incarnate, now may God and man be one. Now in you the kingdom coming, Son of God and God the Son. Jesus, humble babe in manger, love of God extended now. Save us from eternal danger, as before your throne we bow. Kings and shepherds, poor and noble, come now whosoever will. Come adore the King of glory, cease your labor and be still. Jesus, humble babe in manger, joyfully now we lift our voice. Gladly now we join the angels, upraised hand and heart rejoice. Wisdom of our God descended, come to shatter Satan's hold. Jesus, humble babe in manger, come as prophets have foretold. Jesus, humble babe in manger, make my heart your dwelling place. Come reside in power and glory, change me by your matchless grace. Purge away all that hinders, where you lead I will pursue. Jesus, humble babe in manger, how my heart now welcomes you.
One more time, purge away all that hinders.
Purge away all that hinders, where you lead we will pursue. Jesus, humble babe in manger, how our hearts do welcome you.
Well done, you guys. Thank you. Well, would you open your Bible, please, to James chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This morning, the title of the message, as we're wrapping up this series that we've called all this month, The Perfect Gift for You, we're going to talk about it under this idea, Too Wonderful for Words, a gift that is absolutely too wonderful for words. So open your Bible, stand with me, and in James chapter 1 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to look at this gift that is way too wonderful for words. As soon as I find my place. There we go. Okay. Ready? James chapter 1 to begin with. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Let's read that one more time. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. One more time. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now let me show you where I got the title for the message this morning. That same verse, 2 Corinthians 9:15, in the Message paraphrase reads like this. Let's read together. Thank God for this gift, his gift. No language can praise it enough. And then in the New Living Translation, thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Father, I thank you for the reality of that statement, that truth, Lord, that your gift, it really goes beyond description. And here we are 2,000 years after the fact, still trying to describe it, and we still can't do it adequately. So, Lord, by your Spirit, make it real to us. In Jesus' name, amen. As you sit down, tell somebody, too wonderful for words. It is. It is. How many of you got a gift at Christmas that made you wonder? Anybody get a gift that made you wonder? Did the person who gave it to me, do they really know me? Will this fit me? Will I ever use this gift? Maybe is it safe, you know, to unwrap it? I got a gift from our daughter and son-in-law, Shannon and Jesse. And when I was opening it up, how many of you have seen those little fake dogs and puppies? I mean, little puppies and fake ones and kittens are like in a sleeping bed, and you flip a switch and they're breathing and they're purring, you know. And I'm opening this gift and I reach inside and it's got that sort of texture and soft feel to it. Who would give me a gift like this? But it was actually one of those, memory foam airline pillows, because I travel a lot. So that's way better. But it did make me wonder for a little bit. How many of you got a gift where you thought, and maybe you even said to the person that gave it to you, oh, you shouldn't have? Did anybody, those words escape your lips? Not, oh, I wish you wouldn't have, but oh, you shouldn't have. And maybe because it was a gift that you looked at it and you thought, wow, this is too expensive. You shouldn't have spent this much on me. This is just out of our, we need Dave Ramsey now to pay for this. And you shouldn't have done that. Let me say to you that I really believe that if you understand the gift of Christ, it instills that kind of wonder. It instills those kind of thoughts like, oh, Lord, this is too much. If you really understand what it was for Jesus to leave heaven and come to earth, to give you this incredible gift of salvation, it should blow you away. There should be something about it that just really makes you wonder. If you don't look at the gift that God has given you in Christ with wonder, then you don't really understand it. Because it is off the charts. Amen? We have been looking at some of the verses outside of Matthew chapter 1 and 2, Luke chapter 1 and 2, where the real focus nativity story is the birth of Jesus and the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna. We've looked at a few other verses, and I want to rehearse a couple of them. I just want you to read them with me. I'm going to have them up on the screen for you, and I'll try to get out of your way for this. But in Isaiah chapter 9, we read this probably a couple of times this season. Let's read it together out loud. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. There's more. We'll read it in a second. But that word given, you could also translate to us this son was gifted to us. There's no question that the arrival of this son, this child, was the core point of Christmas. The whole point, in fact, the whole point of the book that we read from cover to cover, unto us this son was given, government will be upon his shoulder. Then we unwrapped this gift a little bit on Christmas Eve as we looked at all that's wrapped up in him. And his name shall be called, let's read, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's the gift that you were given in Christ. This one. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, let's read together. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. I bet there was some shouting around your Christmas tree or in your living room this Christmas, wasn't it? When a kid got the gift, or maybe your wife got the gift, or you got it, that you just couldn't believe it finally arrived. There's this shouting on the arrival of Jesus. It says, let's read, behold, your king is coming to you, and he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. Another translation says, he's bringing you righteousness and salvation. This child arrives with all of these gifts, all packed up inside of him, ready to distribute them to, well, here's the word, to whosoever will. Whoever wants it, really. Whoever wants it and will receive it on the terms that the scripture gives to us. How do you receive this gift? We'll talk about that this morning. But all of these passages that just point to us again, point us again to this fact that the greatest gift that's ever been given initially arrived on that morning when Jesus, all wrapped up in human flesh, was laid in a manger. And it's that familiar story. Anybody ever heard this story before? Yeah. Bits and pieces of it. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, though, this whole idea about the gift, the most amazing present you've ever received, it goes on, and Paul digs down deep into the difference between how we used to approach God and how we get to approach God now. In Romans chapter 6, read with me. Most of you have this memorized. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you have a translation that reads, the free gift of God is eternal life? Let me tell you something. The word free isn't necessary if you've used the word gift. Because if it's not free, it's not a gift. It's something that you've earned. The wages of sin, what we've earned, is death. And our wages, by the way, these are not minimum wages. This is costly. The wages of sin are very, very high. You could say the salary for sin. What you get, what I get for the sin that we've lived in and committed, what we've earned is death, which is separation from God forever, for all eternity. Sin pays a wage, and it's not a minimum wage. But God, he gives what? He gives gifts. And he gives, if you want to use the term to qualify it, he gives free gifts. But gifts don't come with a price tag. Did any of you receive a gift like that? On Christmas morning, that the tag was left on it? And maybe it was accidental, or maybe you were given the gift and then Dad said, okay, pay up. It says right there how much you owe me. Oh, it's no longer a gift. You can pay up if you want, but it moves from the gift category to the you bought it category, and maybe you earned it category. Gifts don't come with a price tag. We made a little bit. I can't blame anybody but me. Okay, I'm gonna pull a Steve Harvey here. I take full responsibility for this. This was me forever now. That'll be, you need to do a Steve Harvey. You need to apologize, but it was me. It was completely me. I record these little little closer comments for the radio. And Jim and I record them upstairs here, and I write them out and I read them just as I wrote them. And for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday broadcasts, we were broadcasting the Shepherd of Bethlehem, the audio from the Shepherd of Bethlehem on K-Wave. And I think it was on the Wednesday, might have been the Tuesday, but I think it was the Wednesday broadcast that the gal that was answering the phone, as people called in to get a copy of the Shepherd of Bethlehem, here's what I meant to say. We have a copy of the Shepherd of Bethlehem for whatever amount you can give towards a ministry of Refuge Radio. But what I said, and I went back and listened to it, and indeed what I said is, we have a free copy of the Shepherd of Bethlehem for anyone who would make a donation of any amount. And And the person called in and said, you said it's free. He said, well, yeah, it's free, but it's like for, I think I said free for any donation. And you know what? That word just canceled out the donation part. Because if it's free, it's free. And so he said, give it to him for free. Not all of you, but we gave it to him for free. Because I had messed up there. If it has a price tag on it, it's no longer a gift. But our gift in Christ, it doesn't come with a price tag for you to pay. Do you know why? Because somebody paid already for that. And it can't be bought a second time. It is not for sale. I want you to see another verse. In 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. This is the testimony, read with me, that God has given us, that's a gift, has given us, not sold us, eternal life, but given us eternal life. And where is it? And this life is wrapped up in his Son. In fact, you could say it's not just wrapped up in his Son. This gift is his Son. That's the gift. The greatest gift isn't just that I get to live forever, but the gift is I get to live in Christ forever. If you don't have Christ, John will go on and say, if you don't have Christ, you don't have life. You have existence. And you will exist somewhere forever and ever and ever. But if you don't have Christ, you won't like where you live forever. In Christ, it's that place, I guess you could call it bliss, but the point of it is it's that place in him where everything good that he ever created was created with you in mind, and he did it for you because of his deep, deep love for you. The Bible is extremely clear. This thing we call salvation, it is a gift. And I want to give you just a few little points on this to begin with. Our perfect gift that we've looked at all through this month, I want to wrap it all together now, or tie it all together, or maybe untie it, or maybe unwrap it. I want us to get this. Beyond all the cozy stories around the characters, let's talk about the core of what this means, this perfect gift for you. To begin with, it's a gift that you desperately need. Because as I said, without Christ, there is no life. Life just does not make sense without Jesus. How many of you agree to that? You know, you can, I think I said this on Christmas Eve, you can learn to, and we did, didn't we? You learn to adjust to the darkness that you live in, and you call that light. Until the lights come on. Until somehow your dark mind, your dark heart is awakened, and that passionate desire in you for more comes to life, and it's focused on Jesus. Life just doesn't work without Jesus. So you may have accustomed yourself to the darkness that and the sin that you've chosen to live in, as I did until I was 18 years old. It just was what I called life, but we desperately need life because without him, we are lost. Second thing about this gift is it's a gift we can't afford. As I said, it's not for sale. And even if you were as wealthy as Donald Trump before he runs for office, doesn't matter how much money you have, you cannot dig down deep enough to pay for this salvation. It's a gift that you can't afford. There's no way in the world you could pay for it. It's already been paid for, and that's the third thing here. It's been paid for by Jesus himself. You know the verses. You know this verse. Say it with me. In John chapter 3, I think it's somewhere around verse 16. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish. I'm so glad I have a pulpit I can pound now, because some things are worth a pound, aren't they? Or more. In him, why can we have salvation? Well, because not only did he gift his Son to us, but his Son paid the price for us, the price we could never pay. How many of you have heard it? He paid a debt he didn't owe because I owed a debt that I could never, ever pay. And God, being love, would not leave it like that. He would come and pay and then give me the opportunity to say yes to him. Now listen, on Wednesday night, we begin our wrap up in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. I've said this before, that if you love Jesus, and I would imagine there's a few of you in here that do, really love Jesus. Matthew 27 and the other chapters like it in Mark and Luke and John are the hardest parts of Scripture to read, because you're reading about someone you love, whom you know loves you, and watching how he was treated, not just by those guys long ago, But watching how he was treated because of your sin, because of my sin. I'm not, you know, just a bystander watching that happen to someone. I'm really the one who's responsible for what was done to Christ. It was my sin, and maybe even the sin that we still cling to, that put Jesus on that cross. But let me tell you what we're going to look at in Matthew 27, because it so relates to the whole Christmas story. It says in John 13 that when Jesus sat down to dinner with his disciples, it says, having loved those that were with him, it says he loved them to the end. I love the translation that says he loved them to the full extent. He showed them the depth of his love. In the shepherd drama that I do, one of my favorite parts, and it almost gets me every time that I hit this part in the dialogue or the monologue, where I picture Jesus sitting there with my little girl whom he's just healed. You know that part in the story? He's just healed her. And he's talking with her. Your name is Leah. Do you know that God loves you? Do you love God, Leah? And she says, oh, yes, I do. And then Jesus, I imagine him saying to this little girl, oh, Leah, God loves you more than I could ever tell you right now. But one day, you'll see just how much he loves you. And in my mind, I picture her seeing what Jesus did for her on the cross, seeing how much God loves her. That's where we're going in Matthew 27. And the connection to the story, to the Christmas story, is where we were last week when I portrayed that Simeon character to you. And when he takes the little baby in his arms, and this is scripture, this is not imagined, this is scripture, where Simeon says, now I can depart in peace. Now I can die because my eyes have seen your salvation. And I brought this up to you. It doesn't say anywhere that he was an old man. And I wonder if maybe he was not an old man. Because it's not safe for any of us to die until we've embraced Christ. He says, now I can depart in peace. I've seen your salvation, which you prepared before all the nations to bring light to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And then I had never noticed it till this year that at that point he stops talking to the two of them, Joseph and Mary. And it's as if he leans in closer to Mary and he says to her, this son of yours has a destiny. He's destined for the fall of many in Israel and the rising of many, a sign that will be spoken against. And then there's another little pause there, it seems. And I just picture him again, just focusing on Mary and getting the courage to say this to this tender young mother, under 20 years old, most people believe, and just saying to her, and Mary, a sword will also pierce your very soul. You know when that happened? Matthew 27, as that gift that was given went all the way to the point of giving his life for us and giving his blood for the sin that we still hold on to, that we still embrace instead of letting it drop and running to him. He paid the gift. He paid the price of that gift for us. This perfect gift, this indescribable gift that is too wonderful for words. So, the next point is this. It's a gift that better be received. And you receive it by faith and by confession in Christ. By declaring with your lips and your mouth. We're going to give some of you an opportunity to do that this morning as well. Before we close our service, to say, Jesus, be merciful to me. Forgive my sin. And make me clean before you. And he will do that as you put your faith in him and as you confess him as your Lord and Savior. Scripture says this in Romans. Paul, again, developing this beautiful story of the gospel. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Do you notice it doesn't say, and you understand how God raised him from the dead. But if you believe in your heart, that's the truth of the gospel. You're saved, he said. If you confess and you believe, you put just that simple faith in him, it seals the deal that he paid to give you. And then the last part is this. You know, most of us don't like this word, do we? It's our least favorite Bible word of all those Bible words. It's a gift that requires repentance. You know what that means? Repent means, it means change. It means change direction. Some of us had to turn 180 and go the exact opposite direction that we were going. because we weren't treating anybody right. We certainly weren't believing in God and embracing Christ, and we were scoundrels. I was a scoundrel. Any other co-scoundrels in here before you came to Christ? I was a scoundrel, no question about it. But you know, there's a lot of people, they treat people great. They even believe in the man upstairs, and they even read the Bible. And they might even say a few prayers that they learned as kids, but there's no personal connection with Jesus where he's Lord of your life, because we're still in charge. Repentance means I might just need to change 7 degrees to be on the right track. But I change and I drop whatever I've been clinging to for hope. I just let it go. And I determine that he will be my only hope. Not Obi-Wan Kenobi, but Jesus is my only hope. He's the only force I need. He's the only power I need in me. And I decide in a determined way that I will trust him and I will let that stuff go. The gift then, wrapped up and presented to us, it's in Jesus himself. It is Jesus himself. So many people, here's the funny thing, not funny at all, but here's the tragic thing, that you can read this Bible your whole life and miss the point. How many of you have ever read a book? How many of you had maybe one of those required reading in school, and you read it and you said, oh, okay, I read it, but I don't get it. I don't get it. Tale of Two Cities, or I remember first time I read through Old Man and the Sea. It, you know, well, what's the point of that? Don't go fishing alone, or sharks are mean, or, you know, don't eat little porpoises or whatever they were. You know, I don't know for sure what Hemingway's point was in that. It seems like something like you can give yourself to something that's nothing in the end. Maybe that's it. But, you know, people can read this big, big book their whole life and miss the point. The point of the book is the gift that was promised and the gift that was delivered and the gift that must be received. Jesus said this whole book is about him. So here's what I want to encourage you to do this year as you're going to read through the scriptures again. And I don't know if you're going to try to get through all the Bible in 1 year or dig down deep on a couple of books. And I would really encourage you, dig down deep in Romans. Dig down deep in one of the Gospels and get to know the book. But look on every page for Jesus. And keep a pen with red ink handy so you can just circle that passage that there he is. And maybe put that in the margin. There he is again. And you'll see Jesus. I don't know if on every page, but in every book you'll see him. Because the whole book is about Jesus. It's the core message of the Bible. The good, the perfect, the indescribable gift of Christ. That is too good for words. Jesus is that gift of God to you, that gift that must be opened. So stop trying to buy, if you're still doing it, stop trying to buy what's already been purchased for you. And just open the gift. I want to go to a couple of passages in Romans. I'll have them up here on the screen for you. But I've been involved in the last, I guess it's been about 3 weeks, in a little while, the conversation has ended, actually, but it was a conversation online with a friend that we knew probably 20-something years ago. And it started with a tag on a post that I put up, and it kind of went back and forth a little bit, and it got a little intense, and I realized I need to back out of this. But the story was and is of this person who has decided to camp again on the law. And approach God on the basis of their ability to keep the law. And here's the verse that they quote. It's from Romans chapter 2, verse 13. For merely listening to the law does not make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. That's scripture. So that's true. And it's based on that passage you see in Leviticus, I think in Deuteronomy as well, where it lays out the law, and here's the promise at the end of the law. Here's all that you must do, 614 laws, or 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there, all of those laws that you must keep in order to be righteous, and it says this at the end, if you keep these laws, I'm paraphrasing, if you keep these laws, you will have life. So yeah, it's not just hearing the law, but it's doing the law. Okay, question. How many of you have ever violated one of God's commandments in Scripture? I just want to see you raise your weary hand. Your weary hand. I know you're full of sugar and that wears you out, but is there any other sinners in the house here? Yes, the Bible says that. And Paul develops this so beautifully in Romans. That's why I encourage you to read it slowly this year. Don't just zoom through it. Zoom through once, go back and then slow down. Read it a chapter a day, then go back and do it like a paragraph a day. And just really get this, because Paul develops this so beautifully. He says, because the law makes nobody righteous. The law reveals it that we're sinners. I know you don't like that word any more than repentance, but it really identifies us. We all know how to blow it. We all know how to sin. And the law shows us what God requires of human behavior in relation to one another and relation to Him. And we watch how many. Paul said, I was doing so good working my way through the law until I came to that last commandment. What was it? You shall not covet. And Paul said, that one killed me. I wonder what that man coveted. Maybe hair, maybe height, maybe the safe life of other people. He said, I don't know what it was, but coveting is what nailed him. And he realized, yeah, I'm a sinner. I need a savior. Now, Paul, as he develops this whole story, he comes in the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 23. He says, look, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glory. So if you're going to try to approach God on the basis of your ability to be good, oh my goodness, you'll never be good enough. Now, the Bible is more than just a manual on behavior, on human behavior, on morality and ethics. It is that. It tells us how to live, and we need to strive to live that way. But my goodness, it won't make me clean before Him. The blood of Jesus did that. And that's all that will ever do that. I am lost without Him. If my hope is in the law, then I'm a lost man. But my hope is built in nothing less than Jesus. What? His blood. And His what? And His righteousness. He is my only hope. So drop whatever it is that you've been trusting in all these years. That's repentance. Just let it go. Change your source of your hope. You untie from whatever hitching post you were tied to impress God with just how good you could be and how worthy of salvation you are. And come before Him humbly and say, I can't pay the price. You paid the price. But I receive it by faith. And in repentance, I'll turn away from the stuff that has just knocked me down. This gift is too wonderful for words. It's perfect. It's yours. It's good and perfect. And it has your name on it. You desperately need this gift. How many of you recognize that? You need this gift. You can't afford it. He paid for it. You confess, you believe, you drop the props, and you do it now. And you receive Him. How many of you got one of these memory cards this morning? Did anybody get them? I had one. Oh, it did drop. Thank you. You guys know all that's going on up here. Did you get this? Everybody get this? Take it out if you got it. This was interesting. This is a passage where Jesus talks about how to treat kids even. He talks about mercy. He talks about not being so much of a stuffy adult that you can't bend down, stoop down, and bless a kid. Now, a lot of you really blessed your kids. At each service, I ran into parents. I said, how was Christmas? I said, oh, it was great. We went overboard. We gave them too much. You know what? God does that, doesn't He? Don't you ever think that He goes a little overboard in His love for you and His grace? But here's Jesus talking about how we bless children. I want you to read it with me if you got it there in your hand. It's chapter 18, verse 4 and 5 of Matthew. It says, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Now Jesus isn't saying there, if you make place in your life to bless children, you get to go to heaven. Because then that would be, again, heaven was for sale. He's talking about how we bless the little ones among us and how that blesses Him and how that really does elevate you. When you demonstrate that kind of humility and that kind of tenderness, it says great are those kind of people in heaven. But it was that last part that struck me, because here we are wrapping up our focus on Christmas. And we're talking about this little child that came and how important it is to receive this little one. And even there's Simeon. And there's Anna. It wasn't the 33-year-old version of Jesus that he embraced. He said, I've embraced my Savior, and it's safe for me to die. I know who he is. To some degree, he understood what he had a hold of. And I want to encourage you today, if you haven't yet embraced this child who grew to be the man, the sacrifice for your sins, oh, listen, don't go into 2016 without him. Don't go another year around the calendar trying to do it on your own. Let Jesus be what he wants to be, what he came to be. Receive the gift of life, forgiveness, mercy. I want to ask you to pray with me right now. And I know that some of you are probably ready to open your heart and say, you know, enough is enough. Enough of trying to make life make sense without God as King, Lord, leader, governor, lover of my soul. Enough of that nonsense. Let's get started right. So, Father in heaven, I thank you that you're with us here today, Lord. And I thank you, God, for just how much and how deeply, Lord, you love every single one of us. And this gift, Lord, that was given to us. Oh, Father, this gift of your Son that was so terribly treated, ultimately rejected, went to a cross. We thank you, Lord, for the full extent of your love that was shown on that cross for us. And we just want to ask you this morning, Lord, just have mercy on us. Thank you for that grace. Thank you for that undeserved gift, Lord, all wrapped up that we could never buy. And Father, I pray right now that hearts would open to you like never before. Father, those that have come through Christmas and gotten all these gifts and still realize there's something missing, Lord, it's you, and I pray their heart would respond to you even right now in this place. So, Father God, just move by your Spirit here. Thank you, Lord. Let's keep your eyes closed for just a minute. I'm going to extend this invitation to those who would say, hey, Bill, I'm ready right now. Enough is enough. I'm ready to give what's left of my life to Jesus Christ and let him be my Lord, the forgiver of my sins, and the leader of my life. If that's you, I just want to ask you to raise your hand, and we're all going to pray together. Anybody here this morning that would say, yeah, that's me. Yeah, God bless you. Right in the middle of the room here. Yes, another one over to my left. Yeah, you're right. Anybody else? Praise you, Jesus. Way, way in the back. God bless you back there, man. Yeah. Gentleman towards the middle in the back. Yeah, God bless you. Anybody else? Oh, people are coming to open up this gift right now and receive this gift. This is exciting to me. Anybody else? Lift your hand quickly. We're going to pray. All right, church, join your voice with mine as these who are responding to the gift of God pray these words out loud. Let's say this to God. Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus Christ, your gift to me, who took my sin to a cross, died for me because of me, and rose from the dead. I give you what's left of my life. I ask you to forgive my sins. Have mercy on me. Thank you for paying for my salvation. I receive it now. Take what's left of my life. In Jesus' name, I am yours. Amen. Amen. Let's thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, wow. I never get tired of seeing people humbly say, yeah, me. I remember the day I said, yeah, Lord, me. I need your grace. I need your love. I can't fix this mess. I can't. And today, you that just prayed to receive Jesus, welcome to his family, to our family. Welcome to the family of God. Wait till you see what he makes of you. And he's got some plans for you that you wouldn't believe if he told you right now. And that's why he takes it one single day at a time as you walk with him. So I want to share this last song, and then the worship team is going to come back up. And I'm going to sing it in the right key in this service. Isn't that nice? Yeah. I was way, way down in the basement singing like Johnny Cash, and I'm not Johnny Cash. About, I don't know how many years ago, I was thinking about this whole Christmas scene and Mary. Beyond the story we read in the Bible, you know, she just went on and became a mom to God, to the Son of God. And I just can't imagine what that felt like every day. But watching him grow up as a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I wonder if Joseph ever had him stand in his hand like I do with little babies. He could have done it, I'm sure, no problem. But kind of just tracing the very human side of this story, and so that's what this is. My, oh my,
What a little beginning this was, my oh my. What a tiny little baby boy, time will fly. And before you know it, Mary, by and by, all of the world will know. Long way from home, little town of Bethlehem, and the world is changing. On a silent night, hope of the ages, we'll call his name Emmanuel. God is right there in your arms, and all of the world will know about those promises, precious promises. Hidden deep down in your heart, promises, ancient promises, just as sure today as they were from the start. And day by day, imagine this, you can see him growing up now, Mother and the Son of God, walking hand in hand, step by step. This little boy becomes a man, and one by one by one, all of the world will know about those promises, precious promises, hidden deep down in your heart. Promises, ancient promises, just as sure today as they were from the start.
Now here's where you come into the story.
My, oh my, what a little beginning it was, my, oh my. What a tiny little baby boy, now you and I. It's our turn to tell the story, till one by one by one, all of the world will know about those promises, precious promises, hidden deep down in our hearts. Promises, ancient promises, 'cause they're just as sure today as they were from the start. Just as strong, and just as strong today as they were from the start. My, oh my, what a little beginning this was, my, oh my. What a tiny little precious baby boy.
Father, thank you for this month of reflecting again in a very focused way on this amazing gift that you've given to us. Indescribable, Lord, so far beyond words. But God, thank you for your love that reached down to save sinners like us. Father, thank you for those today that have come alive in Christ, having received the gift that is Him. Walk with them, Lord, and walk with us as we go back out into the world where you've placed us, Lord, to be light, to be an answer, Lord, a living answer to the questions of life. Give us your boldness, Father. Give us courage as we speak your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And let's just go serve Jesus. Amen. Let's go see what he's got for us to do. God bless you. Grace and peace to you in the rest of this year. And if we don't see you before next year, well, happy new year. God bless you. Walk with him.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714 891-9495.